22 verses, verses 1 and 2. It is truly good to be with you tonight. It's been good to be here through Tuesday night and today. Messages have really been great messages, really great messages. We praise God for them. I went back to the motel and rested a little bit. That's the reason I didn't come back for supper. I had my toes stepped on so much in the past 2 days. And my message borrowed so much the past 2 days. I thought I needed to go back and maybe recoup and regroup. So by the grace of God, that's what we've done. We really have enjoyed the appreciate the invitation to come back to home, Baptist Church again. I do love Brother Gordon. If you love the truth, you're going to love him. He's the only man, I don't know whether I've ever mentioned this or not, but he's the only man, or one of the few men, not the only man, but he's one of the few men causing me to weep while he's preaching. He's touching, the Holy Spirit touching my heart. But we appreciate the accommodations. I'm not good at introductions. I told Brother Kenny Long today, I said, usually I forget what I'm going to say before I get up there. You know, and I always kidded Brother Jim Rader, dear old brother that's in with the Lord now. I said, I wish I was as glib as you are, you know. He thought I was bragging on him. Singing's been great. It has congregational singing and the spatial singing. Really, really good. Really good singing. Preaching has been great. Appreciate your prayers. It's good to have my wife with me. She's the wife of my youth. We've been married many years. And the credit has to go to her. God has given her a lot of grace. He has given her a lot of grace. We're having a Bible conference, Lord willing, August 14, 15, 16, at Unity Baptist Church. It's in north central West Virginia. And if anybody would care to come, all you got to do is contact me. I'll be glad to give you directions, and we'll even find a corner to stand you up in if you need a place to stay. We'd be glad to have anybody that would want to come. It's just been good to be here. Let's go ahead and read these two verses of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Father, as we approach you at this portion of the service, we just thank you so much for all your blessings upon us. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here, the privilege of being able to sit and hear the wonderful preaching of thy word, being able to fellowship with thy people. We pray, Father, your richest blessings upon this dear pastor and church as they labor for you here in this area. We ask that you'd be with us. We pray, Father, that thy word would be a blessing to thy people this evening. And we pray that the people who love the Lord would be blessed. We pray that those who are lost would be saved. Father, we just trust in all things this evening that our Lord Jesus Christ would have the preeminence, that he would have all the glory and honor and praise in all things because he alone is worthy. I ask that you guide us and direct us now. Forgive us of our sins before you, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This message this evening is really going to be difficult for me because it's a message I feel God has given to me. I preached it at Unity in March, shortly after, right after actually Brother Dan had called and invited me. And I'd been praying about what to preach here. And on the way home that night, it seemed like the Lord said, you're going to preach that message there. So I said, well, that's settled. And I got up here and I kept praying about it. And then Brother Works preached a wonderful message today on church, on perpetuity. And part of my message is concerning that. And the reason it'll be difficult for me is because I don't want to rehearse a lot of what he has said. I can't say it better than he did. I cannot. It was a great message. If I could compare his message with what I'm going to preach tonight, his message is like a great big three-tiered birthday cake with all the candles on it and all lit, different colors. My message is going to be a cupcake. And it's going to be without the topping. That's how I would compare them this evening. We want to look at it in some different light. I agree with everything that he said today. I say amen to it. It's a doctrine I love. Repetition, though, is something that should be going on all the time. You can overdo repetition, but repetition is a great tool for teaching. People have a tendency to forget if you don't preach it. I had a man call me in early winter this past year, and he called me and he was talking about a revival or two that he had attended and how wonderful it was, and he kept talking for a little. He said, preacher, don't you think we can preach election too much, sovereignty of God? And I said, brother, I guess you can overdo anything, but you're talking about something dangerous. I think this has happened in the past when people thought, you know, maybe we're preaching election too much, and then they just quit preaching it, and the next generation never heard it. And when they do hear it, they're surprised and don't understand it. When I go, when the Lord calls me home, what I would hope and pray is that the people I'm preaching to now, if they hear the doctrines of grace, it will not be a strange doctrine to them. If they hear the doctrines of the church preached, it will not be a strange doctrine to thee. So I believe in repetitive preaching. I really do. Here is a letter that Paul has written to Timothy, and it's full of great truth. It's not only for those who may be called into the ministry to study. It's for any individual to study. And the church can get much out of what the Lord has written through Paul to Timothy. There is much teaching there. We want to look at verse 2. He said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Jesus did promise his church perpetuity. There's no doubt about that. There's no need to rehearse a lot of that. He said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." My church, note you. My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And they haven't prevailed against it, and they'll never prevail against it. Because he promised that. In the book of Matthew 28:20, which was already read today, I just want the last part of it. He said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world, at the end of the age." You know, a lot of times when I quote that, I've caught myself quoting that, "I will be with you always." There's a difference between him saying, "I am with you always," and "I will be with you always." "I will be" tends you tend to think of tomorrow. "I am" is today. And every day is today with the Lord. It is. I am. And the Lord watches over his church jealously. He is jealous over his church. He watches over His church. Do you think it's just mere chance that in times when the church was down to a thread in this world, that God raised up a special individual that helped restore some of the teachings of the Lord's church and it just thrived again? I don't think there's any chance to it. I think the Lord is watching over His church. He promised that it would be here, and it has been here. I don't care what Alexander Campbell said about it dying and Him restarting it. He lied. Jesus said it will never die, and it never has. Amen. And it will not, because He has promised that. He has promised that. You know, the Bible tells us it's God who worketh in us to will and do according to His pleasure. He said we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He has ordained that we should walk in them. He has done that. He works in us. It's not us keeping the church going. It's Christ through us keeping His church and preserving His church. Him working in us, you see. That's what it is. You have perpetuity. Christ has preserved His church. I believe in chain link succession. With all my heart, I love that. I told Brother Works today that I love to hear Jesus Christ preached, and I love to hear His church preached. I really do. And there is not a whole lot of people today across the United States that believes in chain link succession. Not a whole lot of people that believes that His church is perpetuated, that Christ perpetuates it, and I believe He does it through things like scriptural baptism. Yeah, amen. The brethren in the Philippines, you talk about strong on scriptural baptism, they call it authoritative baptism. That's what they call it, and that's what it is. It is authoritative baptism, and Christ preserves His church through scriptural, biblical baptism. Amen. The Lord does. He does. I believe the very minute that any church accepts alien immersion into their midst, their time is numbered. Their existence is going to come to a close. Do you know why? Because first of all, they have given up their identity. They have. They have given up their identity. So I believe a church can cease to be a church through the acceptance of baptism, other than scriptural, authoritative baptism. You remember the Lord told the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, He said, "The mystery of the stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven candlesticks." He said, "The stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the candlesticks are the churches." So what does it mean when He removes the candlestick? I don't care how many people's there. I don't care how great the attendance is, it ceases to be a church. Amen. Right there. Amen. Right there. Amen. He has control over that. But I think something that even goes beyond this that Brother Works touched on, and I'm glad he just touched on it, because that leaves me a little bit to talk about tonight. But there's three things here I want just to mention perpetuity. Talk about that just for a little bit. I want to talk about something else that is taught here in verse 2. And that is the local church, I believe, is manifested here in verse 2. And then maybe if we have time, the third thing would just be the witness, what he has preached among many witnesses. But it's perpetuity. It can also be lost if the truth isn't perpetuated. If it isn't perpetuated. You remember the commission. The commission was teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. He didn't say teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I just want to be plain this evening. If you think I'm playing with you, you ought to hear me preach to my own people. I get downright personal with them when I'm preaching. So I take it a little bit easier when I get away from my own churches that I pastor. But you can have articles of faith that are lined up with the Word of God and articles of faith that you can't find one fault in them. But if you don't observe those, they're not worth anything. You can acknowledge the truth of God's Word. You can acknowledge the things that Christ has commanded. But if you don't observe them, that word observe, I believe, just means keep. To keep. What he's saying there, that teaching them to keep all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. It's not enough to acknowledge it. It's not enough to have it on written articles of faith. You must observe those teachings that he has given. Else, by and by, the church is going to start falling away from the truth until it doesn't make any difference how scriptural you think your baptism is. You'll still lose a candlestick in time. It doesn't make any difference. Teaching them to observe all things. The Lord puts a lot of strong emphasis on doing and teaching, doesn't he? One verse. He said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. If you break it and you teach men to break it, you're going to be called least. Now, it didn't say you're going to be called lost. It said you're going to be called least. But he goes ahead and he said, but whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We often speak of something. Brother Matthew said this evening, practicing what we preach. I believe to a great extent we got that backwards. I believe we need to preach what we practice. You understand what I'm saying? I don't believe anybody, I don't care how many degrees they hold, I don't believe anybody is qualified to teach about scriptural baptism until they have submitted to scriptural baptism. Amen. I believe we have to practice it. Yeah. I do. I believe we have to practice it in order to be qualified to preach it. If we haven't practiced it, we are not qualified to preach it. We need to practice those things, observe those things. And when we observe those things, then we're able to teach those things. The word teach is in the New Testament scripture, I think, 34 times. One of the qualifications, Brother Asbury mentioned last night, of a bishop or pastor, apt to teach. Apt to teach. In Acts 13 and 1, and I don't think this has just happened to be there. Acts 13 and 1, the church at Antioch, which was, had been brought out. He said, now there were in the church at Antioch, in very first verse, verse 1. There were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Yeah. Teachers. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, and thirdly teachers. Now I know that a lot of this has to do with preachers, teaching. I understand that. I'm away down deep in a hollow in West Virginia, but I ain't that far down deep in that hollow. But you know what? I also believe that God has qualified some men who are not preachers to teach. I do. And I believe He has blessed many churches with teachers who are able to teach the Word of God. And there's so much emphasis put on teaching, teaching, observing all those things which I have commanded you, because the perpetuity of the church depends on it. Amen. It depends on it. You go too far, a church goes too far, that candlestick's going to be removed. It's going to be removed. A church, you cannot. You cannot. If I stammer around a little bit, it's because I'm trying to not go over anything too much. But you cannot separate church perpetuity and the perpetuity of truth. Amen. You cannot do it. If a church goes too far into heresy, it can cease to be a church. Now this may surprise you. How far do they have to go? Well, the church of Corinth was still a church. Look how far they went. I'm not here to judge how far a church goes before the candlestick is removed. That's not my job. God didn't qualify me to do that. He's the one that does the removing the candlestick, and He'll do it in His time and according to His will. The church today, the sound church and pastor, only has one thing to be concerned about when it comes to that. Are they willing to accept the baptism or authority of a church that someone's wanting to bring a letter from? It's the only thing you got to concern yourself about. I had a man tell me one time, we had to make a decision about whether we would accept a letter from a certain church. We decided not to. And I had a man attack me, and he said, you're saying that church is no longer a church. I said, no, I am not. I am not saying they're no longer a church. I'm just saying we have to draw the line to the place where we will accept their baptism. It's up to Christ. It's up to Christ when they cease to be a church. It's not up to me. I can't make that judgment. But you know, there's many, you pastors know, there's been many times when a church has to make a decision. Is this church went too far into apostasy? Will we accept their baptism? Decision has to be made. Whether they're a church or not, that's between them and Christ. It's necessary that we teach them to observe all things. And that's what Paul's saying here in verse 2. It's just that simple. He tells Timothy in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me of many witnesses. What things? The things that he has been taught. And a lot of it by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The things that you have heard me teach, then the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. If that's not perpetuity of truth, I don't know anything. Amen. That's perpetuity of truth. And when a church stops teaching to observe all things, that they have been commanded by the Lord. It's just a matter of time before that church goes under as a church. They may prosper materially, but they'll never prosper spiritually. There has to be a clinging, a holding, an adhering to the Word of God. There has to be. There has to be. A sound teaching encourages coming together. I'm not going to be too long here. I want to leave part of it out. Sound teaching encourages coming together. Amen. Someone mentioned today we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Well, there is some today whose manner is not to come together. You see. He said that we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that they're approaching, as it was very well brought out today, and we praise God for that. My point is this. Paul has told Timothy, Timothy, the things that you've heard of me of many witnesses, you commit now to faithful men. Not any men. Not any men. If a man come up to me and said, I want to hold on to my Methodist baptism, I want you to teach me, I'm done. I'm done right there. Wouldn't you be? If a man says, I want you to teach me, but I don't want to submit scripture baptism, I'm done right there. I'm done. He said, teach faithful men. Now, how many of you can teach faithful men without getting those men, plural, together in one place? Three times in the New Testament scripture, the phrase one place, the phrase one place is used of the church. I'll just read all three of them. Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Amen. Boy, universal invisible churches. I don't understand it. I don't understand where they get it at. There's a lot of Baptist churches today in my area. Yeah. There is. Brother Joe knows it. That teaches a universal church because they teach that people are born again into the church. Right. Yeah. You see. I've never seen a universal church. Don't expect to. How would you get a universal church together? I've certainly never seen an invisible church. Where is it at? Where is the location? Well, if it's invisible, you can't see it. But one place, they were in one accord in one place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, says, when ye come together, therefore, He's correcting them about the Lord's Supper. He said, when you come together, therefore, into one place. One place. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place. You know what that teaches? That just teaches local, visible assembly. It teaches assembly. It teaches congregation. Have you ever seen an assembly that didn't assemble? Or a congregation that didn't congregate. They have to come together into one place to be taught. I know this church has designated times that you meet, and I'm sure there's special times you probably have that you meet. But when the pastor gets up, or the teacher, if you've got a teacher, other teacher than the pastor, gets up and starts preaching and teaching, it's because you're all together in one place. Amen. So what this does, what Paul is telling Timothy here, it encourages people, the church, to congregate together. Amen. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You're liable to do this. There will be some teaching going on that you're going to miss. Yeah. And you'll be the loser. Right. You'll be the loser. I love the way the scripture adorns itself. I do. Jesus said, I'm going to perpetuate my church. In essence, gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll be with you always. And Paul's teaching the very same thing right here in verse 2. Amen. Right? I love how it adorns itself. Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Actually, Paul's teaching the very same thing to Timothy here. Come together to be taught. To be taught. Scripture. Don't anybody take me wrong, but Scripture should always be proven with Scripture. This one verse theology stuff. If you don't have Scripture to prove Scripture, you better back off a little bit and do some praying and searching before you start telling what your theology is. No Scripture is of any private interpretation. It is not. There is a lot of teaching in the world today, popular teaching, that's drawing crowds, that's based upon one verse of Scripture. I've got commentaries. I use them. I've got books when I'm studying that I use that men have written. But brother, when I prove what I believe the Scripture is teaching, it's going to be proven with Scripture. Amen. It don't mean a thing. A man wrote me a letter one time over this self-constitution thing. And then turned out to be an article that he wrote. I don't remember how many pages it was. And he told me and was trying to justify self-constitution. And he used one verse of Scripture and gave me 3 or 4 pages of what men had said. I wrote him back and I said, give me more. Forget what other men have said and just tell me, prove your position by the Word of God. The next time he wrote, he used that one verse of Scripture again, Matthew 18:20, somebody used the other night. And another one didn't have anything to do with the church. I don't know what it was supposed to mean. And then another 3 or 4 pages of what men had said again. It don't mean much to me, friends. Some of these are good men. I mean, they were good Baptist men that we read after. But when I'm dead and gone, and I don't write a lot, but you could dive into something I have written and take it out of context and prove that I believe something that I didn't really believe. You better be careful what you're doing. The Lord's church must come together into one place. The Word of God, last thing, quickly, the Word of God is not secretive. Paul said here, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. I believe Paul, when he preached on a subject, I believe it didn't make any difference. If he is in Corinth or Ephesus, he preached the same thing on that subject. Yeah. I believe he did. He may not use a verbatim word for word, but I believe he taught the same thing. What I mean by that is if I preach on a subject at Unity or Desi or Steer Run, if I go to the Philippines and I use that subject, they're going to hear the same things in essence that I preach to the churches in West Virginia. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Amen. I had an old gentleman, an old preacher, I loved him so much. He's passed and gone on now. But he, for a while, he was in favor of mission boards. And that's one thing he and I disagreed over. he was telling me about one, about some preachers. He said, these men are sovereign grace preachers. I said, yeah, I probably are, but I said, I can't understand how come them sovereign grace preachers can come up to the churches in my area, and it's got pastors that despise me because of what I preach. They don't want anything to do with me. Well, they wouldn't even offer, let me offer prayer in their church because they despise what I preach. And if these men are sovereign grace Baptist preachers, why are they supporting them? Somebody's not telling the whole truth someplace. Paul said, the things I have taught you among many witnesses. And you know, some of the people in my area, especially when I was first called to preach, they come. They wanted to hear the new preacher preach. And when they heard me preach on the sovereignty of God, they never come back. They don't want anything to do with me. But you know what? You know what? They're witnesses of what I preached. They don't have to be friends to be witnesses. I believe it could have been the very same thing with Paul. There were a lot of enemies followed Paul around. They heard him preach. They were witnesses of what he preached. But I believe Paul is having reference here more to saved people as far as that goes. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. I want you to understand the Lord's church is not an organization that has secret rituals that you get to partake in as you go from one level of religious prominence to another. They are not. The Lord's church called the Sermon on the Mount because he sat on the mount and taught multitudes. Wasn't nothing secretive about it. The church has never been secretive about what they preach.
Amen.
They shouldn't be secretive. Amen. We're supposed to declare it to every creature. You see. The Lord's church has always been public in its teaching. So much so that even the missionaries they sent out, someone was talking about Antioch in the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 6, they were so vocal in their teaching that they were accused of turning the world upside down.
Yes.
But the word of God will do that.
Amen.
It'll do that. The word of God turned President Obama upside down. I told somebody the other day, I said, and it's really hard sometimes to admit that I do pray for President Obama. I pray for the leaders of our nation, as I feel that we should. But I want you to understand one thing that I believe. I pray that this nation will be turned. God doesn't have to save President Obama to turn President Obama. He can turn him whithersoever he will at any time. And that's what we should be praying for. That God just turn him. Turn our leaders. Turn this nation. We need to get back to the basics. Some of the things that Brother Matthew was talking about today. Great message there. Paul says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Brother Joe, I was trying to give you a little extra time. You got 5 minutes extra. Okay? May God's blessings rest upon each one of you. We sure appreciate allowing us to come preach.